Good afternoon, everybody. This is our session for Democracy Live. I want to thank Belinda, who is our host, and Rick, who is our streamer. Thank you guys so, so much. So I am going to turn this over to Leslie so she can introduce our guest.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just want to introduce Melissa Carney from Democracy Live. They're one of our gold sponsors for this weekend's convention. So thank you, Melissa. And she's our educational outreach consultant with them. So thanks, Melissa.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Melissa, and I am an educational outreach consultant with Democracy Live, as Leslie just said. Before I go any further, I'm very curious about who else is in the room. So if you were planning to take a nap during this session, zone out, that's not going to happen. It's going to be very, very interactive. So I want everyone in the room, if you feel comfortable to do so, to please introduce yourselves. I believe someone will be passing a microphone around.
Scott Thornhill. I currently live in Guilford County, North Carolina, but I will be in Alexandria, Virginia soon. And I am the executive director at the American Council of the Blind.
And here's Cheryl.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Rayburn. I'm the new vice president of program services at Lighthouse Central Florida. I've been with them for 8 months, just sold our home in Kansas City, and looking for a home in Orlando, and go Chiefs.
And Carl, you're next.
Carl McCoy of St. Petersburg, retired, and nothing otherwise.
Next.
I'm Rita Polimeni. I'm a teacher in Florida County.
I am Sophia Weissman. I am Mikey's mother. And I am from Hialeah, Florida.
Great place to be. And right back here, Janine.
Hi, I'm Janine Lee, and I'm originally from San Francisco Bay Area, but I live in very, very hot Kissimmee, Florida.
All right, I'm coming back to Doug. Hang on, you're next, coming with the microphone.
Thank you. I am Doug Hall. I live in Volusia County. I'm active with the Access the Vote Florida, and I've been dealing with Democracy Live for quite a few years. And I'm a voting advocate, and like Carl, I'm retired. Thank goodness.
All right. And I'll come around this one. I'll come over here to Pam next. And I'll go back to Mikey Weissman. She's right here. Mikey, just who you are, where you're from.
I'm Mikey Weissman from Miami, and yeah, that's about it.
All right, Pam.
Pam Sogi, Orlando, Florida.
Next is Alicia.
I'm Alicia Edson. I live in Seminole County, and I'm the board director and founder of Ocean Waves Radio.
I'm Marcia Bucala, and I live in Orange County.
And I am Stacia Boyd. I am in Orange County as well, in Winter Garden. And in addition to be the founder of Audio Description Initiative, I am also an Orange County poll clerk. And that's everybody, except for Sheila and whoever else is at the front table. Okay, that's everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for introducing yourselves. I see we have a nice representation from around the state. That's fantastic to see. So the title of this session is Bridging Perspectives, Advocating for Electronic Ballot Return. Now, by indicating aye, how many of you are currently active voters?
Aye.
Fantastic. And how many of you are not? No one. No shame. All right. So this session, some of you may already be familiar with Democracy Live. Some of you may not be familiar with Democracy Live, or maybe you've been using our system this whole time and you're just not familiar with our name. We create an alternative, accessible absentee voting tool. What that means is, currently, many voters get absentee ballots mailed in print to their homes. What we do is create an accessible alternative to that for those who can't see, mark, or hold a paper ballot. In Florida specifically, you all have access to what we call electronic ballot delivery. That means if you get in touch with your county elections office, you can speak with them about that option. They will email you a link so you can vote from the comfort of your home, your computer, your iPhone, your Android, whatever piece of assistive technology you feel the most comfortable with. That's including screen readers like VoiceOver and JAWS and NVDA, Braille displays, any piece of assistive technology you can think of. The experience is customizable for you. So the county would send you a link. You would open that link and have the opportunity to mark your ballot electronically. That's removing barriers such as transportation to get to the polling places. It's removing that need to sacrifice your privacy to ask someone to fill out an absentee ballot for you. And it's giving you as the voter the choice as to what selections you want to make on your own time with your own technology that makes you feel comfortable. It is fantastic. However, I call that half accessibility. What Florida does not currently offer is electronic ballot return. And that's what we're going to be focused on today, the importance of it, what it is, and how you can advocate for it. Electronic ballot return is the other half of that process. Currently in Florida, that's not accessible. So even though you can mark your ballot electronically, you have to print it out in order to submit it. We know how difficult it is to get access to a printer. Many of us, most of us, I would argue, don't have a printer in our homes because why would we need it? So that's a huge barrier. Right now, the only workaround is putting that on a flash drive and finding a friend or a local library to get you to print that out from your flash drive. But that gets complicated because then that barrier that you work so hard to eliminate, that's transportation getting to the polling places, suddenly you have to invite back into your life in order to get to a printer. Not only that, but you're still dealing with the barrier of providing a physical signature on that piece of paper and knowing where to sign. And then you have to mail it back to your county. So overall, we have privacy, but we do not have total accessibility. So what I'm going to talk to you today is about today is when you're dealing with opposition of creating this foolproof solution in your state, how do you advocate against that? How do you educate about the technology and why it's important? Why you as voters deserve equal access to that ballot? It's becoming even more of a critical issue the closer we get to election season, right? It's a big year, so we're making a big push within advocacy efforts. Any questions so far? I want you all to get a taste of the opposition. Why, when this sounds so great out loud, full accessibility, increasing access for people with disabilities, eliminating barriers such as transportation to the polling places, providing you options, which is what accessibility is all about. Why is there such opposition? It's a great question. I want to go over some of the reasons why that exists. The big one being accessibility versus security. A lot of people believe that you can't have both. In order to have accessibility, you have to sacrifice security. No one wants to think outside the box or investigate further to realize that you can have both. These are common concerns. If you look at some academic professionals, some people in the government, because they have not done thorough enough research into what they perceive as the issue, because they're not working with us as consumers directly, because they're not taking the time to understand the importance of full accessibility, they're not aware that this is not an issue. My thought is, if you can pay your credit card online, if you can look at your banking statement online, all of these different things that you can do independently through your computer or through your phone, Why can't you do the same thing to cast your vote to have the same experience? How many of you agree with that? Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. It's very, very frustrating that there's this barrier existing currently. You should also know that 32 states already allow electronic ballot return through methods like fax and email. Think about that. Fax is becoming a thing of the past. Email is not overly secure. But yet for our overseas voters, they're using these unsecure methods of returning the ballot and not considering a more modernized method. Electronic ballot return is not a novelty concept. It's simply encouraging people to adapt their approach that already exists. Since 2008, since Democracy Live's founding, the system has never been compromised. We have professional hackers around the clock attempting to get into our system. We've been reviewed by specialists in academia, those who are in favor of increasing accessibility. We currently use a system called AWS, Amazon Web Services, which is a secure cloud portal to host our system. This cloud portal, AWS, is used by the Departments of Homeland Security, Defense, Department of State, FBI, CIA. All federal agencies have been encouraged to use AWS since 2020. So the fact that we have some of our most secure data stored in this cloud portal, and yet people are still arguing against its importance and its validity, is mind-boggling to me, at least. Maybe to you too. So that's just me touching briefly on the security versus accessibility debate and how we're trying to navigate that and speak out against it. Now, most importantly, and this is where we start getting interactive, so get ready, I want to discuss with you all strategies for how to engage with the opposition and advocate for a fully accessible voting process. The first issue that we need to think about and priority to think about is raising awareness of this technology. I think about it as if we don't use it, we might lose it. We need numbers to back it up. We need education around this topic so people can use it and speak up against it. Power in numbers, as I like to say. So how can we do that? How can we increase awareness and education? Well, all of you in this room, that's step one. You're curious about it, whether you know about Democracy Live already or not. You're curious about this technology. Maybe you're interested in using it. Maybe you already have. But you're here to learn more. The next step is becoming advocates, thinking about how not only can you speak with your elections officials, write to them, call them, tell them about the importance of this process, but you can also strive to form collaborations with each other and build a community around this topic. What I mean by that is it's not just our ACB members who are impacted by this issue. It's people with all types of disabilities. It's those with paralysis who can't vote with their hands and have to use devices that are connected to their computer in order to vote. It's people who are deafblind. It's people who are using braille displays, who are using screen readers. Everyone who can't mark a physical ballot is impacted by this issue. So we can strive to work together as members of the disabled community to reach a resolution and to reach a solution with this topic and to advocate for it and again build that awareness and education around it. All right. So think about ways that you can collaborate in your community. Think about connections you have. And it goes deeper than that. Once you form those collaborations and you all start to agree on the importance and you're on board with one another, then you think about distribution. How can you spread the word? Is it an email listserv that you belong to? Is it social media? Do you want to work together to post an article in a newspaper, to have a news story on TV? That's up to you based on your strengths to work together to accomplish that education. There's no one-size-fits-all approach. There's no one right way of doing things. But you also have to understand that it's a trial and error. You may find that maybe one avenue of education is not as effective as another, so you might need to try other avenues. You might need to experience failure, people who don't listen, no traction on the issue, in order to find what works. It takes experimentation, and it takes a lot of courage. And that's why it's better to not fight these battles on our own, and instead to fight them as a unified community. I would also invite you all to share your strategies. What have you found so far that has worked, that has not worked when advocating? I know I've spoken to a few of you in the exhibit hall already about some experiences you've had in which you've had to work directly with your county when you encountered an issue. I invite you all to share your experiences, your advocacy strategy, and whatever would be helpful for your fellow blind and visually impaired community members.
Yes, we have one right here. Hang on a second. Marcia?
Okay, so I'm part of a group called the Daring Sisters, and we just did a speaker series on accessible voting. And we had Olivia Keller from Disability Rights Florida, Michelle Bishop from the National Disability Rights Network. We had from Utah, their disability rights, and then California disability rights. And one thing that was shared with us was a video that this just worked out really well for them to get truly accessible vote by mail. They filmed somebody who had to take an Uber or Lyft to the polling place. He used IRA to find the office where the polling, they have polling centers there. He got there, it wasn't set up. And then he had to, you know, pay for IRA, he had to pay for a ride home and take off work early. The one county that did already have truly accessible vote by mail took him 4 minutes to vote. And all of their counties now have accessible vote by mail. And even the other people that were on this call were like, we want to see that video. I know I shared that with some of the people in the Florida Council of the Blind, but I thought that was a really brilliant way that they were able to get truly accessible vote by mail. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing, and I think that's a fantastic idea. And even within that experience, right, how many of us have service dogs and would experience a denial? How many of us take paratransit and would be worried about running late or not knowing when to schedule it? And there's a lot of people who prefer the polling places, but there's just as many of us who struggle just to get there or to find where we're supposed to go, or are concerned about being educators and having to explain step by step to a poll worker what the process should be instead of spending that time voting as everyone else does. So I think that's a great idea. I would love to see a video comparison of what that process looks like, and then a video of someone going through the electronic ballot delivery process, and ideally the electronic ballot return process. It's explaining to people in detail and showing them, because oftentimes, you know, unfortunately, seeing is believing, that this is a cumbersome process. Without being in our shoes, these people who are opposing the technology just don't understand it. So thank you for sharing that. I think that's a fantastic idea, and I'm sure a lot of people in this room would love to get behind that.
Any other questions from anybody on the floor? Yep, over here, Doug.
Like I said, I'm in Volusia County, which was one of the first counties in Florida to implement accessible vote by mail. I'm also active in the Access the Vote Florida group, which is part of Disability Rights Florida, to promote accessible vote by mail. We have a symposium seminar every year to educate people about vote by mail. I believe Marcia and I participated in a video that was produced by Block by Block to talk about accessible vote by mail, and I'm waiting for that to be made public so we can see it. One of the things I wanted to mention in terms of a way to have an impact. The Halifax Council of the Blind, which is FCB, the National Federation of Blind of Daytona Beach, which is NFB, worked together with our supervisor of elections to promote accessible voting. She, Lisa, is very in favor of doing it. Unfortunately, she says she has to do what she's told by Tallahassee. She's not happy with some of the things that she has to do. She actually thinks the idea of accessible return, electronic return, is a great idea, but she has to do what she's told by her, you know, her bosses. But I think one of the things that's very important is that the consumer groups are involved, participating with educating and actually educating our supervisors and the people who deal with elections, so they're aware of it. When we first did the vote by mail in 2020, most of the people who did it, they set up 5 pilot projects. Volusia was one of them. Of the 5 counties that participated, a majority of the people who voted were from Volusia, mainly because the consumer groups got involved and push the idea of getting involved and doing it. And I think it's important that our consumer groups speak with the elections people in their county and develop good communications so we can educate them.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I think there's always room for more collaboration and more education. And those who might be on board, if they only knew that the technology existed to support it and the security existed to support it. Anyone else?
Anyone else that I can have a question? No hands up.
Great. Okay. Anyone on Zoom have any questions or comments?
We don't have anyone currently.
I'm curious, in Florida specifically, when you're thinking about the polling places or even the current system that exists with electronic ballot delivery, what do you all feel for you personally is your largest barrier to voting? Kind of a loaded question. Maybe there's multiple reasons, but I think it's good for us to discuss as a community so we know exactly what we're trying to solve. Because working towards that solution, having objectives to solve, makes us even more passionate as advocates.
Mikey, here you go.
You're talking about our own obstacles.
Yeah. Any your biggest barrier you personally have faced to voting that might prevent you from voting for the future, or something you just like to see solved.
So it's the one thing that I was really hoping to hear. I think we may have jumped over it, which I feel that this would provide, which is the independence. Right. So right now, with the printable, I happen to have a home office, so I have a printer. I'm not one of those. But I still need the help, right? Because where do I sign? And that independence thing is something for us as FCB and members of ACB. We strive for that independence, and we want to be able to do it privately. Having your ballot reviewed and trying to identify a signature line, or getting a ride,
figuring out which way to put the stamp. There's a whole lot there that we lose once we get halfway there. So the independence part of it is a challenge. Walking, I vote in person just because I like to make sure that they know that, you know, people with white canes vote and to make sure they're on their toes. But we lose that independence there as well, because sometimes they are not ready for us. So it's, to me, it is the independence of that the privacy that comes with being able to cast it independently.
I think that's a fantastic word. I think many of us have been skirting around it and what we've been talking about, but it really is about independence. Quite frankly, I feel that it's degrading when even filling out an absentee ballot in the past, we've had to ask a family member or friend to fill it out for us, and there's no privacy. There's no independence in that process. Even with this half accessible solution of electronic ballot delivery, even though we can mark it by ourselves, there's still a certain amount of independence and privacy we lose in trying to ask someone where we should sign, needing access to a printer, having to get transportation to the post office or to somewhere that has a printer. Suddenly we're now relying on other systems other than our own. And that's stressful. That is lack of independence and not what we strive for. And this is why, as a community, we have to come together to advocate for something like electronic ballot return, which is done, by the way, in over a dozen states at this point in the U.S. have it. Red, blue, political affiliation, doesn't matter. It's been accomplished all over the country, from Massachusetts to West Virginia to the Carolinas. They have advocated, they have accomplished this goal, and there's no reason we can't do the same here in Florida. It just takes a lot of effort, patience, and again, community. And I think centering your efforts around that word, independence, could be a great weapon that you can use to your advantage.
There we go, Carl.
Wouldn't it take state legislation to get this accomplished?
Contrary to popular belief, no.
No?
No. Especially in Florida, because you overseas voters are already using electronic ballot return. They just haven't given it to their people with disabilities in state. So they're already using it. And like I said earlier, they're using fax and email, which are far less secure, and not modernized methods. That's how they're receiving their electronic ballot return right now. So this system would actually make that more secure. And that's the argument that we could make any day, is by having a system, electronic ballot return system, in a secure cloud that's used by the FBI and CIA, Department of Defense, all of these agencies, it's secure. An email, not so much. And that is the point that we are trying to make. It's about modernizing a process that already exists and expanding a process that already exists in your state, just not for our group.
Well, one argument for that, I would think, it would be that it would open the opportunity for a lot more people to vote, not just disabled people, but they're working people who don't have a chance to go to the ballot place and vote. There are lots of people without transportation that could vote and not be able to go. So it would expand the participation by the.
It's a great point. I completely agree. Oftentimes when we think of accessibility, it's not just making things more accessible for people with disabilities or folks who are blind or visually impaired. It's creating more access to everyone. Yeah. You think of something like a wheelchair ramp, for example, a curb cut, right? Suddenly it's easier for everyone to roll their heavy suitcases up it and not have to lift them up. It's those sort of simple things people don't even realize are making a system more accessible for them. And kind of a silly comparison, but it's similar in thinking about voting. How many people have a work schedule where they can't take off that day or don't have a car, don't have the money to get where they need to go? Right. Or how many, I think of our college students, right? For example, many of them don't have cars or have classes or right. are stuck trying to pay off their education with a full-time or part-time job. Right. It's the same for everyone. We all have barriers that prevent us from getting to the polling places. Maybe some are more significant and more prevalent, but we all have reasons why this technology would be so beneficial for not just one group, but for everyone.
Okay. Anyone else?
Anyone on Zoom?
No hands up on Zoom.
Okay.
Back to Mikey. Mikey, hand.
Do you have the information on a dollar-to-dollar comparison? Because it seems like as we have aged into technology, we know that a very forward-thinking approach, unilateral access, is cheaper, right? So when I hear this, I think, well, it's gotta be cheaper than polling places, mm-hmm. poll workers, paper ballots, physical, durable equipment. Like, is this not just like cheaper? I mean, everybody's always looking to save dollars, right? Every state wants to, you know, keep their budget down and everything like that. It seems like this should be cheaper. And also, I want you to realize you're talking to Florida, where individuals with disabilities, primarily those with visual impairment, were voting, and I'm not sure if we still in some places do, but for a while we were actually voting on machines that were deemed, that was a long time ago, right? So we have that historical, you know, smudge where we used to vote on machines that were not, what's the word I'm looking for, Debbie? They were not certified. So we would vote on machines that were not certified to be used by anyone, but they were allowed to be used by us. Those are my two, that's just one little statement about Florida. And then my question is, isn't this cheaper than good old fashioned elections type of thing?
Yeah, so it's interesting to think about, right? There's always gonna be a cost to voting. It's more about what is less likely to break down and need to be replaced. That's where the money comes into play with the polling machines, for example. Many of those are outdated. There's different competing companies. Poll workers don't know how to use them and they become broken or they need to be dusted off. All of the maintenance required in that, not to mention the transportation costs of getting there, that's coming out of the voter's pocket, right? When we think of this, again, option, right? Not the end-all be-all, but an option. We think about how as our needs as a community evolve, as a technology evolves, you are using what you feel the most comfortable with and what you've determined is cost-effective for you. In addition to that, not only just the simplicity that comes from using your own technology, and what works for you, but there are, and many states don't realize this, there are grants that support electronic ballot return. There are ways to get said funding so cost is not a barrier. And again, it's just having the option. I personally believe with how much money is putting into different places, right? Voting it should be an easy fix, considering where else the money is going to, considering that we want to increase voter population in a drastic way, We want more people's voices to be heard. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. As to the actual statistics of costs, I can't tell you that. I believe it varies from state to state based on what configuration they have with the Democracy Live! System. But that is, I think you have that conversation as a community and figure out how you justify that and how you can create more buy-in to this type of technology by saying that it increases your independence and saying that it will increase the amount of people who have access to voting.
Question right over here, hang on.
This is a little bit different, but I was wondering what kind of stop or gaps you have to avoid fraud.
It's a great, so your question was what steps are in place to avoid fraud? What kind of systems are in place?
Yes.
Yeah, so the reason we go through, so our portal is secured on through AWS, Amazon Web Services, which is a federally approved cloud-based environment. It has already been certified by the FBI, the CIA, where some of the nation's most critical documents are held. So that's what I often share with people, just to say, if the CIA can use it, your information is pretty secure. But if that wasn't enough, we also have professional hackers around the clock trying to get into our system, trying to compromise it. And it has not been hacked since 2008, since its founding. With the amount of voter fraud that already exists, right, there are so many issues with how print ballots are tabulated. We saw this in many past elections. With this system, if you are advocating for electronic ballot return, you can better track that information. You can better make sure it gets where it needs to go without as many hiccups. It's not a human being on the other end, counting the votes. Your vote will look the same as everyone else's, except that you know where it's going. So that's kind of what I tell people, is with the amount that's already in unsecure with print ballots, you're not taking a step back, you're taking a step forward. Hope that answers your question.
Yep, hang on.
The paper ballots, they have to be signed by the person that's supposed to be voting,
mm-hmm.
and they compare the signatures, and if the signature doesn't match, the ballot doesn't count.
Yeah.
How is that going to be handled when you have...
Right. So I can explain a bit more about electronic ballot return and what that entails. For the signature part of that, and this is how this would be solved and removing that barrier, you only have to type your name. It's as simple as that. You go into an edit box, you type your name, and you press submit. That is why we are advocating so strongly for it, because of its simplicity, because there's no guesswork of finding a signature or finding the signature line, having to sign it, not knowing if your pen has ink or not, all of those barriers, right, that we deal with when thinking about the absentee voting process would be eliminated just by typing your name into a box. You wouldn't even have to take your finger and sign on the screen. You're just typing your name. And how we make that part secure and to eliminate voter fraud is to provide each individual voter with a specific PIN that can be used in lieu of that physical signature for verification.
In Florida, backward thinkers years ago decided that all voting had to be done on paper. Mm-hmm. Even though studies have shown repeatedly that there's more fraud and more problems with paper than with electronic medias, but they seem to have this crazy idea that papers, they want to be able to touch it. Like you said, you pay bills electronically, you use ATMs, people are willing to do that, but not voting, which is crazy. The problem I think we have is that people have an old idea and they're not willing to give up their old idea and look at the possibilities that there's something that's better because they're used to what they have. I wanted to speak about this thing about certification. Some counties are requiring apparently that you sign a certification paper to include with your ballot. I don't understand that. We don't do that in Volusia. We've never done that in Volusia. What Lisa does in Volusia is she puts two physical marks on the envelope for the person to sign between those two marks. And you can do that independently. So I don't understand these counties that are requiring certification because that's a step that's not necessary.
Any other comments on that?
Debbie's has her hands up.
Many of us have worked diligently to get electronic ballot return implemented in this state, and the prejudice against it is horrible. We're still going to do that, so we support you in this. But I do think you are neglecting one reality. Many, many people who are blind or visually impaired don't have any computerized technology. And so we've got to make careful when we say that all blind people will be in better positions to vote. That's not entirely true. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to strive for electronic ballot return. To be perfectly candid with you, until that electronic ballot return is implemented, I'm not going to use this ballot. It's too much trouble. It's much more trouble than going to a polling place. So I think these are things we have to think of. And I don't know if we can come up with any new way to show these intransigent people that electronic ballot return is safe. But these are things that you and Democracy Live and other entities that are working diligently to make this happen have to think about. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Anyone else?
Yes, I'm moving back up to the front. Hang on.
I want to follow up her statement. It's not only the people with that are blind or cannot see. We have a lot of old people that do not have a computer, do not know how to use it, and will never use it. So what is going to happen to them?
It's a great question, and this is why I keep emphasizing this tool as an option for those who want to use it, for those who aren't interested or cannot get to the polling place. This is just an option. It's not going to be appropriate for everyone, especially I think of our older folks who are losing their vision. With the lack of services and the timeliness of services that we're all too familiar with, and the lack of training around assistive technology in many of our state rehab agencies, if they don't think you're valuable enough to get out into the workforce, there is a lack of access to technology and availability to use technology. So I just want to, I am glad that you spoke up about that, and I do want to comment on that and say it is absolutely your choice to use or not to use this type of technology. If you want to go to the polls, if that's more accessible to you because you don't have a computer, that is 100% your choice. And I would commend you for making that choice because that's what you have to do. For those who are having barriers getting to the polling places and want to vote from their homes and want to use their assistive technology because that's what they feel makes them more comfortable, that's maybe the best option for you. Again, it's all about creating choice and opportunity for the individual voter and what works best for you. We have about 10 minutes left. Any other questions?
Heading up to Scott.
Hi there. I'm just curious, and I may have missed this, so I apologize if you already covered it. But so there was a gentleman over here, I think, Doug, who was talking about how the county, right, that Doug is in already has electronic voting? No?
No, what I was saying is that our county has set up, instead of having the crazy certification thing, the county supervisor set it up so you just sign your name on the envelope, and she put tactile markings on the envelope to indicate where the signature goes, so the person, if they're able to sign, are able to sign completely independently. They can put the thing in the envelope. The envelope is pre-addressed and stamped. So all you do is put your thing in it, you sign it, close it up, and drop it in the mail, and you never have to show it to a sighted person.
Okay.
So, I mean, that answers that. I wanted to speak briefly, though, to what Debbie said. In some ways, she's correct, the problem about computers. But think back, in the 1800s, people complained about telephones. Nobody uses telephones. You don't need to deal with it. Now everybody has multiple phones in their house. I expect that the same is going to happen with computerized, not necessarily computers, but with technology. It's going to happen. Yes, we have people right now that may not do it because they're afraid of it or don't want to learn it or whatever. But you know, eventually it's going to happen. And I think if we sit back and say, but now we can't do it, so we shouldn't do it, is not the answer. However, we need to look in the future and say it's going to happen down the road. And true.
Okay, Debbie, people on Zoom cannot hear you.
Yeah, no, I just okay, thank Scott. You, Doug, for that clarification. I just wanted to make sure about the county that you were talking about. So my question was, you mentioned that the state itself, to Carl's question earlier, right, that the state does, the legislature does not have to approve that as a...
I don't necessarily agree.
No, no,
with
I'm
that.
Not talking to Doug, the, up here. The
Department of, the Department of State has indicated that they do not want electronic return in this state because, and the county supervisors say they can't do it because they're not being allowed to do it by Tallahassee.
Okay.
So in answer to what Carl said, yes, I think it does take some movement on the state level to say it's okay to try it because the county supervisor are not going to do it unless they're given permission by Tallahassee.
But to clarify what the moderator was saying earlier, was that the state legislature itself does not have to vote for this to happen. Is that correct?
I don't think the state
legislature... Wait, I'm not asking you, Doug. I'm sorry. I was asking the person up here.
He's speaking to Melissa.
Is that accurate?
That is accurate. There does not need to be an official ruling.
Okay.
However, as was mentioned, there does yeah. need to be some movement and some discussion around it.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and there have been, if all of you are curious to see how it's been navigated in other states, some states have taken it that far to get the attention, to get the push that it needed.
Okay.
But it's not necessary.
So the Secretary of State would have to instruct the elections officials in each county to allow electronic balloting, and they'd
yes.
have to have a process and all of that. So you
yes.
couldn't have it done county by county. You would have to have it done statewide.
You can do it potentially county by county. Some states that I can think of off the top of my head do only have electronic ballot return in a couple counties and not all, or electronic ballot delivery in some counties but not all. But it's more effective when it's a statewide effort.
Right, right. My suggestion, just not being from Florida, so like, right, I can throw out whatever I want. I don't live in Florida.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, you know, maybe an approach would be to have a demonstration project, you know, to essentially, you know, ask the state, hey, look, you know, especially if you have a county like where Doug is located or others that maybe have, you know, a strong outreach group, maybe to say, could we at least have one demonstration project in a county and let's just see how this works. And I don't know, you're
yeah.
much more of an expert on this than I would be, but just a thought to say, can we try it in one county and let's see how it goes and let's report afterwards. And if it's successful, then let's roll it out in more counties. If not, then let's address the issues and figure it out. But at least you get yeah. the foot in the door to give it a shot if you can go county by county. So.
And many states have done that. It has been an effective strategy. So if there's one county who wants to be the quote-unquote guinea pigs and take that on, and you have a lot of strong advocates in that region of Florida, I've seen that approach be successful. Sometimes, again, just like we said, seeing to believe, it does take one part of the state making that effort and proving that it can be successful for then everyone else to jump on board. So if that's a strategy that everyone agrees on as a community, I think it's a great idea. I would start to think of which counties are more progressive, which counties are more open-minded. What relationships do you have with your elections officials? Is there somewhere where you could have a more effective time of advocating? So it's about kind of figuring out, okay, yeah, well, one county is going to start the process, but which county should that be? Where do you think you have buy-in? Where is there not only just buy-in, but where's there a personal connection? Do you know an elections official who maybe has a family member, a friend, someone affected by a disability? Do they have a disability themselves? Can you make it more of a relatable experience to get their support? So that's all something to kind of think about and start analyzing amongst yourselves to figure out where that process should begin.
Nobody wants electronic ballot return more than me. I'm a big cheerleader. But the truth is, and Doug can attest to this, we have worked on accessible ballot for balloting for over 20 years. And the state elections board has to certify any equipment that is used within the counties. Now, the county supervisors get to choose among that equipment, but they cannot use anything that isn't certified. So it's still a statewide drive to get this thing started.
Thank you for that context. I think that's very helpful for everyone to know what's been done already and what approach needs to be taken. That's so we can continue to learn from each other and be successful.
I want to respond to what Scott said. I think it's a great idea, Scott, you said. Back in 2020, five pilot counties were chosen to do accessible vote by mail. The state refused to do it, and it took a lawsuit by the Florida Council of the Blind to force the state to do something. We had to negotiate with the counties, but the supervisors did set up five pilot counties to try it. Prior to that, there was no accessible vote by mail. FCB started the thing by suing. It was 2020, I think.
2020.
I think it was 2020. But you're right. It may take something like that, a pilot project of one, two, three, whatever it is, counties, to try it, to show that it can be done. And then we need to get the Association of Supervisors to agree to abide by it.
Thank you, everyone. I think we're about at time. I'm gonna hand the mic off to Sheila. Thank you all so much for being here. And I hope that we can work together in the future to come up with some solutions.
All right, would you join me in thanking Melissa very, very much for being here? Thank you all for coming to this. We have about a 20-minute break, and then the executive committee will be meeting right here. And then immediately following that will be the pre-convention board meeting. So I will see you guys back in about 15, 20 minutes.